You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Monday, April 24th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside Fantasy Executive Corey Parsons, CTM Baseball's Matt Modica, and the return of the King, Scott Angle. I'm Greg Sussman. We're going up to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. The OG's old school fantasy comes your way. New and improved old school, some would say, Corey.
Yeah, we got old school fantasy popping off 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Me, George, and Matt Modica, you know what I'm saying? And let Scott get some rest, you know what I mean? So there you go right there. But I'm happy to be here on a in Roto Experts in the Morning, you know what I mean? This is kind of my thing, you know what I'm saying? So I'm happy that everybody's here.
We all know what you mean. We know what you're saying. Matty, congratulations to the Rangers, my friend.
Oh, thank you very much. It was a great weekend. I mean, all the sports, basketball, hockey, baseball. Let's do this.
There you go. And Scott, welcome home, my friend.
It's good to be back. Good to be back home with y'all, and plus Matt Modica.
Yeah. Well, this is, well, he lives here. You're coming home, and, you know, Daddy moved in.
Yeah, he moved in.
Yeah.
Kicked in the
bedroom,
door.
Bedroom upstairs, yeah.
Yes. He's sleeping with your wife now.
Whoa.
That's you in this scenario.
I'm not the damn wife. I'm not the wife. I told you, Scott, if you touch your tip.
I got money.
No. Not that much.
Got a raise.
Oh, no. Nice.
Well, really?
Yeah, that's breaking.
Right, let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's start right there.
I think I need a meeting.
Well, would you like to?
So this is confusing, right?
Yes, indeed.
So it's going to be more segments, more Roto Experts, more fun, right?
More Roto Experts, more people, more fun.
Yeah, exactly. You got it all figured out?
Yeah, of course we got it all figured out. We got a fun time. I want to start though, Matt Modica, Rangers, of course, advance. They play Ottawa. I have no idea about anything, obviously. Is this good for them, bad for them?
Personally, I think I'd rather face Boston
okay.
if I had to choose. But I think it's going to be a tough series. Rangers never make anything easy. That's number one. I think it's a good matchup. I think both teams match up well. If Lundqvist can play the way he played in the first round, I think we take it home.
All right, there you go. I was a Louis for Matt Modica. It's
wearing the jersey.
He's wearing the jersey, so he plays for the team. Scott Angle, the King. You're the Mets fell last night to Max Scherzer. That's fair. It happens quite a bit. How you feeling, man? How you feeling with the Mets? And after your traumatizing week last week,
I figured, you know, there's a lot of injuries, but
you had the injury last week.
What's that?
You had the injury last week.
Yeah, I obviously almost went on the DL myself last week.
But, so the reason I bring this up, now I don't know if you talked about it on the radio or not. So
I don't care.
Okay. All right. So Scotty would cover the Mets last Wednesday, and was doing his job. Was in the press box, and you know. Wound up getting some food go down the wrong pipe and has trouble breathing, and everyone surrounds Scotty, and he has to be taken to the hospital for further evaluation. He was day-to-day. He's fine. He went back on the field, took one day, back on the field on Friday, and not only was he back at work on Friday, he went back to the game Friday. So when you went back to the press box, did you get a standing ovation as you returned?
No, just a lot of people like saying, "Are you okay? Are you okay? What happened?" And I said, you know, I was choking, and then I saw, you know, last thing I remember was seeing Kyle Shanahan's face, and then I blacked out.
Why did you see Kyle Shanahan's face?
Because I was choking.
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
That's harsh, man. Yes. Jeez.
I think the fantasy exec would have given mouth-to-mouth if needed.
If I had to save the King, I would.
As would I. If
you, like
if
my
you,
friend.
If you, yeah. you have to save the King, you
But
have
no, a choice. Lot of people came over, you know, like, I know you know, are you that, okay, right? and stuff like that. So it was... You know, I'm just glad it's over.
I would have came and got you, Scott. I'd have been, you know, giving you the little chest pumps. Oh,
keep going, honey.
And then be like, oh no, there's David Rice jock. That's what it was.
Maturity, Scott. Maturity.
Welcome, Greg.
I'd be on a 10 a.m. show with him, and I'd do something like that. He'd tell me, Scott, I'm trying to be mature.
I am mature. I'm saying he would tell me. Yeah, well, you should be mature. You took you 10 seconds to start
this. I'm sorry.
It's unbelievable. It's crazy. On today's show, we have a lot of baseball to talk about. I have a lot of questions for you guys. And you know, a lot of the show is about building to the standard audience that plays fantasy baseball, like me, that we're trying to get better, we're trying to improve. So we got a lot of games to go over from the weekend, a lot of stories to go over from the weekend, a lot of call-ups to go over from the weekend. Roto Experts at the Park debuts today, every day, 8:55 Eastern. We got Kevin Long on the program today. That'll be exciting. So, we got a whole lot more Roto Experts because this is the debut. This is the rebirth. This is the beginning. The new Roto Experts in the Morning. We'll be back right after this. All right, back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Let's get into some of the stuff from over the weekend here, gentlemen, shall we? And I want to start in... We'll talk about me, of course. Because when we left on Friday morning, gentlemen, I was asking you which of these... I asked Matt Modica to rank three players for me and who he would start in a spot start. Matt Modica, do you remember who those three players were?
Yes, I think it was A.J. Griffin who went to the DL.
Yes.
Another player that...
It was Jesse Chavez.
Chavez.
Pitched Friday night in relief.
Oh, yeah, relief. That's what it was. I knew something happened with Chavez, but he didn't get the start.
It was Jesse Chavez pitching relief. You remember who the third one was? This is the one I picked up.
The third one. I forget.
And the third one was Shelby Miller yesterday, who got hurt after four innings.
And was actually pitching good.
It was fine.
Until he walked the pitcher.
Correct. So he was pitching really well, and then he got hurt. So all three of the guys that I was choosing from, terrible, which kind of sums up how I feel, where all pitchers are terrible. Let's start in yesterday afternoon's Diamondback game, where the D-backs fell to the Dodgers by the score of 62. Shelby Miller lasted... 4+, and while he's leading with severe forearm soreness. Now, that's just not basic forearm soreness. That's severe. He said he's never felt anything like this before.
Wow.
Corey, that's not good.
No, that's not good when you have severe forearm soreness, especially when you're a pitcher. So, as excited as we were about him, you know what I mean, coming up, whatever the case may be, Greg. It's your guy. You know, that's your player. It's unfortunate to see this happen. Now, what is severe? I wish we had Dr. A here for this, because I'm trying to figure out what makes it more severe. Is it more painful?
Yeah,
information?
What it is. Yeah. No, it hurts.
Well, they said they're going to have an MRI today, but Miller, they also said coming into yesterday's game, he had the lowest exit velocity among opposing hitters over the first few starts than anybody since the stat was actually created.
Yeah, well, you know who called that? Me.
Yes.
This guy called that one. Now, my whole prediction is going to go down the tubes because of some forearm soreness.
Didn't see that coming.
And on the flip side, Brandon McCarthy is the only other Dodger besides Clayton Kershaw to pitch into the seventh inning this season.
I believe that. We're going to get to the Dodgers. We're going to get deeper into that in just a second, because McCarthy yesterday goes 7 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs. He strikes out 6. He looked really good yesterday. And you know, you and I, Modica, have been trying to just literally, our goal was to get every Dodgers starter, right? Like, we wanted every one of them. The problem was, outside of Clayton Kershaw and now Brandon McCarthy, every one of them have stunk. Kenta Maeda being the prime example. I own this guy. You know, everybody at this table knows that. You want to talk about me wanting to drop people? Kenta Maeda stinks. Like, he is absolutely awful. He's a guy that I cannot reasonably, Scott, throw in my starting lineup at any point because he's awful.
Yeah, it's been that way since he got up to that really good start last year. The Dodgers are now eyeing, from all published reports, Julio Urias is making his way back, and it won't be too long before he's back in that rotation because they need him. I'd like to see what happens eventually with Alex Wood getting stretched out for a few more starts, though.
Wood's getting stretched out. Rich Hill, it sounds like, coming back, and they're giving more and more credence, Modica, to putting him in the bullpen because they don't think he could last with the blister. Now, if you sign Rich Hill to some ungodly amount of money and then have to put him in the bullpen, that obviously stinks. But if anybody can handle it, it's the Dodgers, who built a rotation built on depth. Like, we have a ton of guys that we can throw out there that, like, aren't necessarily Clayton Kershaw, but we already have Clayton Kershaw. We have a ton of guys that hopefully could be number threes that we can just put together. Rich Hill's one of them. He's hurt. Alex Wood can step up. Julio Urias can step up. Hyunjin Ryu pitches today. Hopefully he can step up.
Well, just look at the Dodgers. After Kershaw, they have depth. That's true. But what do they have? They have Kenta Maeda, who's in one season. I still believe he's going to be all right. He'll right the ship.
But hold on, but you say that. Let me follow up with that. Like, what are you seeing that makes you think he's going to right the ship? Scott said it right. He got off to a really fast start last year, and then I thought he tired down. All of a sudden, he's fresh right now, and he stinks.
Now, everybody does this. Everybody breaks. They say, his second half was terrible.
Right.
Those last two starts of the second half skewed those numbers. He had a 3.28 ERA going into the final start of the season at a really good whip. In that final start, his ERA went from 3.28 to 3.48. So if he would have finished with a 3.28, everybody would have looked at him differently. His whip shot up too. So, and then in the playoffs, he was done. You can see the guy was spent. You saw it with Jake Arrieta the year before. You know, this was a big move for him. But just getting back to the Dodgers rotation. Okay, you got Maeda, 1 year in MLB. You got Ryu, hasn't pitched in 2 years. You got McCarthy. When he's healthy, pitches really well. But how long is this going to last? You got Wood, another talented guy that I really like. But he's an injury risk as well. And then you got Urias, who is a supreme talent. But how many innings has he pitched? And how many innings will the Dodgers let him pitch?
So they got a lot of people out there, right? Good team, whatever the case may be. The bottom line of the matter is, it may be deep, but it's not no real like experience with the staff. And as far as Maeda goes, I mean, it's a lack of control. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, number one, first and foremost. But he may not make his start this week, right, Matt?
There is talk about that. Look, Maeda is not going anywhere. He's not getting like benched and going to be. He's going to be in that rotation.
But should he go to the waiver wire? Is my question.
I mean, even in a 12-team league, I'm holding on to it. Like, we talk all the time. Mm-hmm. I repeat this all the time. You have a bench for a reason.
Right.
Kenta Maeda has a K per 9 of 9.0. He has a walks per 9 of 2.3. These are good. He has got the long ball killed him. I think he's given up 7 home runs, and he's been awful. And like Corey mentioned, control. I think it's more command. You have to be able to command your, when you command your pitches, you can put them in certain places.
Sure.
You know, yeah. And he's getting hurt.
Control comes first and then the command. But last year, it's like Maeda was completely unreliable, especially after June. 4.61 ERA in July, 4.05 in August, and then obviously he totally fell apart in October.
Well, that's what Matt. Yeah. So that's really the counter argument to you, Matt, is that in July he had 4.6 ERA.
Look, he definitely, as the season progressed, wasn't as nowhere near the pitcher he was in the beginning. But as we said, this is a guy that pitched once a week. He went from pitching once a week to pitching, you know, every 5 days. That is definitely an adjustment as well. And like I said, it's that last couple of starts that really did him in. And if you look at him in the playoffs, the dude was done. I still believe he bounces back.
Yeah, I wouldn't cut him. Like Matt said, that K to 9 is too good. When you have that kind of strikeout ability, fantasy owners are not really going to sit that they're not going to send that to the waiver wire.
It all depends on who you pick up, but also, in addition to the K per 9, he's got an 8.05 ERA and a 6.48 FIP.
But that's terrible.
Yeah,
the dude has let up 7 home runs so yeah. far. I mean, he's going to get pounded.
He's going if he doesn't get pulled for the rotation, he might get go on the DL for neck injury from looking up so much.
Speaking of guys who could potentially go on the DL, you had Jock Peterson leave yesterday's game. He hurt his groin. One of several players hurt their groins over the weekend. We'll get to the other one in a second. But Jock Peterson,
Jock hurt his groin. How about that?
Peterson has let off yesterday with Logan Forsythe's injury was really intriguing. And of course, if you're a Peterson owner, you were pumped. Now he hurt his groin. Of course, tests to be done today. We'll see what the deal is. But if you're Jock Peterson owner, Scotty, you were just so excited about it, over the weekend, and now this one hurts in the groin region.
Yeah, and it's not a shocking move that they try to hit him at the top of the order, because if anything, if you play in an OBP league, you know that Jock Peterson is good for OBP, batting average wise, just hitting 220 after yesterday.
Well, Jock Peterson, ever since he's come up, he has another batting average, right? Like, it's always been a problem.
He'll get on base, though. There are guys that, like, on base, that they have a low batting average, but they know how to draw a walk. And, you know, Jock Peterson is one of those guys.
Absolutely. The rest of the Dodgers order, my man, Corey Seager-Modica, he didn't strike out yesterday.
That he didn't, and, you know, Corey's just going to be fine.
Yeah, you're right. Yasmani Grandal hits his third home run of the season yesterday for Arizona. You have some of the rotation for a second. Shohei Miller leads with his extreme soreness. And I heard you guys talking about on Sakata and Angle, Scotty, about how this is probably going to make people anticipate more than anybody Archie Bradley here. Do you agree with that decision?
I think in leagues like the NFBC where the bidding is high, you always have to be ahead of what the next move is. But, you know, we've never seen him be that impressive in the rotation. Yeah, he's been in the bullpen, but, you know, command's been a real issue for him. I'm still very skeptical on Archie Bradley, but, you know, the talent is still there and he's still young.
Madika, are you, with Sean Miller's injury, extreme soreness in the forearm, we are always people that anticipate things. That's what the whole fantasy community is. Are you rushing the waiver wire to pick up Archie Bradley?
In the leagues I play, and he's gone, but if he's available, he's definitely a person of interest. Like Scott said, it hasn't come to fruition. It's a tough ballpark, as we know. But, I mean, it depends on what your options are. I think this is talented. I think there is the talent there. Can it translate? I want to see him in the rotation. Depending upon my options, he's somebody that I might be picking up in a 12-teamer.
Would you rather have Archie Bradley or Patrick Corbin, Corey?
I think I'm going to take the shot with Archie Bradley in this situation. I think he's the next guy up. He's the guy that had the heavy bids on him last night.
Mm-hmm.
So we know what Archie Bradley can do. Familiar with him. I'm going to go Bradley.
Scotty, quickly.
I would probably rather go Bradley. Corbin hasn't shown me much so far.
Modica.
I'm going to probably still stick with Corbin, but it's getting closer.
Against the Padres tomorrow, Patrick Corbin.
He better be good.
Better be good. All right, take a break. We'll come back. More baseball coming your way next on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Hanging out on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Wrapping up this Diamondbacks talk here. Jake Lamb was 3-for-4 yesterday. Paul Goldschmidt hit his third home run of the year on David Peralta, was 2-for-4. The D-backs fell to the Dodgers by the score of 6-2. So
I got Goldschmidt, though.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a good player. So now, when we were talking about picking up pitchers last week, I named the three that I was considering. And there was one I left out who, you know, Corey picked up in Tout Wars. Things didn't go so great yesterday.
I'm talking about...
I'm talking about Andrew Triggs.
My guy.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Screwed up majorly yesterday, right? I saw that ERA. I was like, oh my goodness, what's going on? My points was dropping in Tout Wars.
They're just dropping and dropping.
I'm looking at it and I'm like, well, why is Adam Ronis getting, you know, extending? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it was Andrew Triggs was on the mound.
Yeah.
You know... Just letting him fly out the damn ballpark. Remember last week he was showering me with Andrew Triggs love? Not yesterday. He let me down.
Andrew
but
Triggs.
But you know what? He's going right back out there.
And
I trust
really?
Him. Oh, yeah.
Really?
My guy.
He's got a tough matchup this week, doesn't he?
He'd be all right.
Does he play Boston, I think?
Boston sucks.
Andrew Triggs plays Houston. Houston. They play the Angels and the Astros later this week.
Yeah,
Boston.
The regression police came big for Triggs yesterday. I think he's going to be good, but not as good as he was. I mean, you look at the fact he had, even after yesterday, he's got a 214 BABIP and a 64.8% strand rate, and his FIP is 326, run over its ERA. You know, this is, I'm not surprised this happened.
Modiga, we said Andrew Triggs is probably going to allow a run at some point, an earned run at some point. Yesterday, Scotty mentioned it perfectly, right? The regression finally hit. 4 2/3, 5 hits, 6 runs. He struck out 4. He walked 2, threw 81 pitches. A Mariners lineup that obviously can hit. It's woken up from their slumber to begin the season. We knew Triggs was going to have some regression. Were you surprised it was this badly of a regression?
Not really. I mean, yesterday I tweeted out right before the slate started. I said he's obviously in my lineup because he's got a 2-start week at O.co. But I think terrible things are on tap for Andrew Triggs this afternoon.
You know, it's funny you say that because you mentioned it on earlier, like last week on Monday, when we were talking about this week's two-turn guys, and we were talking about Triggs, you was like, be careful on that Seattle start, because he can get blown up, and sure enough, he damn sure did get blown up.
Well, I mean, it's the argument. One thing I did say last week was, you got to be careful with everybody's always wants those two-start pitches. We're all clamoring to the waiver wire, but you have to be careful, because we get lulled in, and maybe sometimes that one star guy is better. And I saw it happen to me this week. I follow the herd. I usually don't. I'm going back to the basics. If I like the one star pitcher better, he's the guy to stay.
I know, Scott, this is a conversation we had late last week about Blake Snell, right? Like, I was a Blake Snell guy because he started twice last week, and you're like, listen, I don't want to do this thing, even though he's starting twice.
Yeah, and with the amount of walks that Snell had yesterday, you know, it could have hurt your whip. He didn't have a bad week, but you know, Snell just scares me with his lack of command.
See, what I want to ask you about Triggs, though, like that, all of that stuff that you were saying, he has a 2.2 xFIP, and he has a 3.876 and carried one and dropped the two, and then you bring back his BABIP. What the hell does that mean? He got blown up. He got blown up. Do we need to hear the damn x.678?
Because those kind of things were pointing to the fact that eventually he was going to get blown up. He was overachieving.
I disagree.
Yeah, but here's the thing with our Triggs. Like I said, I put him in this week. He was a reserve round guy. I still like Triggs. I mean, in deeper leagues, he's owned. I have him on several teams. He's not a guy that when I roll out there, I'm like super confident. The strikeouts to walks are very close. It's not like he's been dominating. But, I mean, he's an arm I do want to own in a deeper league, but I'm not like severely confident when I roll him out. 15-team
league. I'm going to put him out there. You know what I'm saying? I'm not. I love him.
I think he's pretty good. I'm in agreement with Matt.
And me.
But I don't think, because you thought the guy was Cy Young.
I didn't say he was Cy Young, Scott.
Yeah, look, Andrew Triggs, 3-0, you know, this is my guy. You know, he's going to go out there and dominate. You know, and like, it didn't happen. It's like, you know, I think he's going to be a pretty good pitcher, but, you know, this guy's not going to strike out a lot of people. And when you have guys like that who don't strike out a lot of guys, you know they got to mix and match to get by, you know. They're going to get blown up once in a while.
Yovani Gallardo for Seattle yesterday pitched 6 3, 4 hits, 1 run, walked 1, struck out 7. Pitched really, really well, though. It's Yovani Gallardo. He probably shouldn't trust him all that much.
No, I mean, this is a guy like Gallardo. This is like Wade Miley. I have him on a couple.
What is this Wade Miley thing going on right now?
Yeah, it's like 19 strikeouts to 1 walk in his last 2 starts. It's insane.
No.
And I have him on draft and hold leagues. Like, I drafted him like the 47th round, and I'm still afraid to put him in my lineup. That should tell you something. I mean, I saw people bidding $171 on him this week.
Yeah, I don't get it. Seattle, they got the third home run of the year for Nelson Cruz. And Taylor Motter, I get the average of 255, but every single day, Taylor Motter reminds me of Travis Shaw, who somehow is batting 250 but has 30 home runs.
Yeah, I mean, I picked him up in my AL only the week prior, and he's been a godsend.
Yeah.
I mean, how long could this continue? I'm not sure. He should get some outfield playing time with Leonis Martin getting DFA'd. But one thing, remember we were talking the past 3 weeks, you want to cut guys, and this guy, people bring up averages, and I'm like, don't even look at averages. Nelson Cruz is now batting 271.
Just like that.
Yeah, with Motter, it's interesting because I thought they might give him some time at first base with Valencia struggling, but now they bring up Vogelbach. But they, like he said, they designated Leonis Martin for assignment. They can stick him in left field. He's hitting way too well, and he's also becoming a fan favorite in Seattle, so I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon.
Well, let's chat about Dan Vogelbach here for a second, because people were surprised that he didn't make the team coming out of camp. He played last year, struggled, but he is one of the bigger prospects for Seattle. And where he hit yesterday, he's right behind Nelson Cruz. He's about fifth in the lineup. I mean, they basically threw him into the fire here. And he's going to play, from what we hear, every day against right-handers. Now, I understand that people's waivers run yesterday, but if they had a Vogelbach out there, Modica, how important is it to go pick this guy up?
This is a perfect segue. I partner with a team with Chris Vaccaro, and we're in the same league against each other in the main event as well, which is kind of crazy. But in our partnership, in the team we partner, he mentioned Dan Vogelbach. And I was like, yeah, you know. He put a bid for 50. We lost the other bids. We lost out on like Aaron Altier and some other guys. We got Vogelbach for $58. The runner-up bid was zero. In the league that I compete against him, he put Vogelbach in for 118. The runner-up was zero. And then he tweeted out last night, I guess I'm the only one that likes Dan Vogelbach. I mean, it happens. But look, I mean, Vogelbach does have offensive tools. He's going to get a shot to see what he can do. He had a really bad spring, so that's why he went down. I think Seattle's going to give him a run. Let's see if he can do. He's going to get the opportunity to succeed here. I mean, Valencia was just god awful.
In a standard, standard 15 team league, standard 12 team league, though, are you thinking about
12 team? No, 15 team. I take a flyer.
Okay. Yeah, I think he's AL only in deeper mix league. You know what I'm saying? That's what I would do with Dan Vogelbach. I'm excited to see what he brings to the table, though. I like this Mariner team.
I know Modica mentioned Scotty about Taylor Motter picking him up in an AL only.
I got him too.
Are you picking up Taylor Motter in a standard mix league?
I already did last night.
Okay.
You know, if Vogelbach doesn't pan out at first base, they can use Motter at first base. He's versatile enough. They're going to find ways to keep that bat in a variety of ways around the diamond, so I'm in on him.
Me too. I got him on my team. We went and picked him up from the airport last night.
Should I open the door?
Should I open the door?
No, he can't make it in today.
Oh.
Everybody, our whole team today, we going to take a trip to the hospital to see Sunshine.
Oh, Sunshine.
Jacoby Jones got hit in the face. Very traumatic for
that
my team.
That was bad.
Yes.
Now, you say you're all taking a team trip to the hospital to visit him. He's not even on your team anymore.
No, so. We're going to cut him.
You're going to cut him with the whole team now.
Yeah, we're going to go see him.
At the hospital.
Yes, but then he'll leave, and then I'll come in there. After the team leaves, I'll come in and be like, listen.
Nurse, scalpel.
Sunshine, I'm sorry. We have to let you go, Sunshine.
Well, maybe we can
make
Taylor.
That'll make him feel better. Yeah.
Maybe Taylor will come in studio with us tomorrow.
Yeah, sometime this week.
Yeah, of course.
Will you make Taylor cut his hair?
No, I'm not that guy.
Mitch Haniger's run continues. He was 3-for-4, of course. 3 runs scored. What's I have to say?
I'll admit I was wrong on Haniger. I mean, it wasn't that I hated him. There was other guys I went after. But I am, you know, this guy's just, as Tony Sincotta would say, getting it done.
Yeah, he absolutely is. I actually got a trade offer today. This morning from about Mitch Haniger. So that kind of brings me into where I want to go next. So it was Mitch Haniger on one side, who I own. The other side was Brandon McCarthy and Gerardo Parra. The Rockies won yesterday 8-0, and Gerardo Parra hit his second home run of the season.
Oh, cool, it's worked.
Parra is batting 333 now, OBP 373. David Dahl's on the way back. Ian Desmond, shockingly, maybe being a little bit of outfield for Colorado. Gerardo Parra is a name that is out there in, you know, a handful of leagues here. What do we think of Gerardo Parra?
I think Gerardo Parra is good for what he is. He's a guy that will get you. He's a guy that's a really good bench player to have on your team, because when the opportunity arises, he gets the job done. But what are the at-bats that he's going to get? I think at some point it will be David Dahl. At some point, a healthy Ian Desmond. If Mark Reynolds is producing at first, they'll put Desmond in the outfield. So my concern with this is, what is his true playing time? He's a player I like, but more of a bench player.
Scotty, what about you on Gerardo Parra?
It just, you know, it was just his second homer. He has 7 RBIs. This is a guy for me with the Coors Field factor that he doesn't get enough counting numbers. Now, he had a really disappointing year last year. So far this year, yeah, he's been passable in terms of the batting average, etc., but there hasn't been much pop and much RBI production.
Well, let's talk about 2 home runs in April. Let's talk about that. Two home runs in 2 weeks.
Yeah, this is a guy that plays in Colorado, though. The batting average is keeping him afloat. I feel like Mark Reynolds has produced better.
Wait. You're talking about guys in Colorado. You know he has more home runs than Cargo, right? More RBIs than Cargo. Better average than Cargo.
Cargo's eventually going to get his, but the guy is coming off a terrible year. He's not giving me enough counting numbers for Coors. I'm not a big fan. I could see Reynolds playing a lot of first base and Desmond a lot of outfield when he comes back.
Well, he's healthy now. That's the difference from last season. But I agree with Matt. I think he's a guy that you want to own because, like you said, he's a bench player you want to own. But when his number is called, he'll be able to come in there and not disappoint, unlike Sunshine.
Building off of what Corey said, he was like last year's trash. Going into last year, everybody was excited about Gerardo Parra. And prior to that, he's produced when given the opportunity. Look, he's nowhere near a superstar or anything. As I said, a nice bench player to have.
I agree. Hey, by the way, Kyle Freeland in this start, 7 innings, 6 hits, 3 strikeouts. You know the only time he stunk?
It was when you started
him.
So I never start guys in Colorado. He was playing the Padres in Colorado. I'm like, all right, Kyle Freeland's pretty good. I started him. He stunk. And ever since then, dude now has a 3.32 ERA, and he's literally zero runs every time except when I start him.
The Rockies have shut out the Giants six times since last year. They've shut out every other team in the majors five times.
Let's talk more about the Giants, especially with Jeff Samardzija and the starting pitcher that they won't have for the next month, 2 months, 3 months, four. Oh, boy. It's going downhill for the Giants quickly. We'll talk about it next on the Road of Experts in the Morning. Friday afternoon, word breaks that Madison Bumgarner is hurt. A little bit later on Friday afternoon, we find that Madison Bumgarner is hurt pretty significantly. That best case scenario, we're talking 6 to 8 weeks. That's best case scenario. That's 2 months. We're not seeing Madison Bumgarner until after the All-Star break, if you ask me. Very, very bad for the Giants, who fell yesterday, of course, 8-0. They're 6-13. They lost Buster Posey for a while with a concussion. They're in trouble, man, because Jeff Samardzija stinks. He had 5-3 yesterday, 7 runs, 6 strikeouts. Scotty, the Giants are in trouble.
Yeah, they are. The Inside Injuries crew on rotoexperts.com has more of a breakdown on Bumgarner. It's part of your exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball package for in-season. Enter radio check, free radio checkout for a special discount. You know, Denard Span has been hurt, too. You know, they just haven't gotten a lot of offense. When you get shut out at Coors Field, you know, that says a lot.
By a rookie, no less.
Yeah, absolutely. This team, the offense is struggling. Of course, they don't have any pitching without Bumgarner.
Joe Panik is hitting a little bit.
Yeah, but is Joe Panik someone I really want to own? No. I don't. What does Joe Panik do?
I mean, he raises your average and he gives you about 10 home runs.
How could you say you like Joe Panik and then just crap on Haroldo Parra?
Well, Joe Panik is a guy who's going to play every day, maybe hit about 300 and give you 10 home runs. Haroldo Parra is like a fourth outfielder.
But Parra has more power than Panik. And he plays in Colorado.
What am I going to pay for Joe Panik?
Nothing.
I'm going to pay like $3. He's going to boost my batting average. He's going to give me about a dozen home runs.
What do you play for Parra?
I expect more out of Parra because he plays in Colorado.
Exactly.
He's got a lot of talent.
Right. I agree with that.
Yeah, but you don't think Parra gets double-digit homers, double-digit steals by year end?
I think maybe, yeah, he might.
That's more than Panik's going to give you.
I'm saying, you know, Panik is a guy that's like, Parra's not going to hit 300. Panik could hit 300.
Well, Parra could have.
Well, I'll step in here.
I feel like my expectations were higher for Parra initially when he came to Colorado.
But that was last year. You can't let last year cloud your judgment on this year.
It's not like he's been credible this year.
He has better numbers than Joe Panik across the board.
He's got 2 home runs and 7 RBIs.
Joe Panik has less.
I don't expect much out of Joe Panik.
Wait. So just because you don't expect much doesn't mean you don't want the better player?
Well, I'm saying is we're talking context here. It's like Haroldo Parra is a guy that, like, if Ian Desmond and Mark Reynolds are healthy, I might want them both in the lineup over Parra.
I'll take Parra over what's his name?
Joe Panik.
Mark Reynolds. Okay. I mean, Joe Panik's good for batting. I agree with Scott. Joe Panik's a deep second baseman who can give you a solid average. I do agree with that. But, I mean, if I had to choose the rest of the season, I would take Gerardo Parra over Mark Reynolds.
Why you don't like Parra, Scott?
He hasn't met expectations since he's come to Colorado.
You sound like you're a scorned owner.
No, I've never had a Parra Parra.
Maybe that's your problem. Pick him up. He's pretty good. Just kidding.
Joe Panik, though, is a good call, Scott. Remember I told you I read in the offseason where Ray was saying that he liked him as a big-time sleeper this year.
Yeah, he does, because he can give you 300 like a dozen homers. You need to pay nothing for him.
Yesterday, I spoke about Jock Peterson and his groin injury, right? Well, that was almost the insignificant groin injury from the weekend, because all of a sudden I'm out Saturday night and I check my phone, check on my team, boom, little DL note next to Cam Bedrosian. What the hell is going on? And all of a sudden Cam Bedrosian has a strained groin. I haven't heard a word about the strained groin besides that it's a strained groin. What happened, Matt?
I don't don't know what happened either. I woke up and saw the same thing. I was like, what? But I did go and get Bud Norris in a couple of places because I do own Camp Georgian everywhere. Am I super confident in Bud Norris? Absolutely not. I tweeted out beginning of the season, I thought Bud Norris would be relevant in AO-only leagues. But, hey, look, you got to take a shot. Who knows how long this groin injury lasts? And he seems to be the guy first in line.
Scotty, how important is it to add Bud Norris? Remember, on the DL, you have Bedrosian, you have Houston Street, you have Andrew Bailey, the top three relievers for the Angels on the DL. Now, I have not seen any information how significant the groin injury is for Bedrosian. How important is it to you, if he's available, to grab Bud Norris?
We don't know the extent of how long Bedrosian's going to be out. We don't have a timetable on that. But Norris, all the Ravens ran already.
Yep.
So, you know, if you wanted him, the opportunity has already passed you by. But
I play in leagues where he's still available. So that's
really?
So, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In a lot of the leagues we play in, he's gone.
We.
I'm saying.
Well, there's a lot of those people that people play in leagues other than you.
Including you in the week, because I'm saying, like the Greenwich Street Tavern League and stuff like that. He's gone in a lot of competitive leagues. If he's out there and you need a closer, you have to get him. But there's no guarantees with Norris because you don't know how this is going to go. Now, you'll hear it on demand later this week. I interviewed Chris Spire, the bench coach of the Washington Nationals, and asked him about the closure situation with Glover and with Kelly. And he said, look, he told me straight up, he goes, this is an audition process. It's whoever steps up and takes the job. And that is what's going on with the Angels right now. Norris got the first opportunity, but the first chance that he blows something, they'll let somebody else step up and get a crack here, and it's going to be an auditioning process. So if you overspent for Norris, it could come back to bite you.
Yeah, so I'm with you, right? Like, but Norris got the first opportunity. The fact is, Mike Socha's unpredictable. He didn't even want to get Cam Bedrosian the job, which was frustrating. Number two, as Scotty said, if Norris blows a save, he's not going to get the next one. Number three, we don't need to even use Norris in the ninth inning every day. We don't know that. I also don't know how important, like, how serious
it was. An extra inning save. Yes.
Yeah. So there's so many question marks. I wasn't spending a ton of fab on him. I wasn't wasting all the money. Like I told you, Matt, you know this about me. I wanted to, you know, save a pickup to the end. I had a pickup, but Norris was there for me in a league on Saturday night. I let him go. I just didn't know what to expect.
How many closers did you have in that league?
Three. Bedrosian was my third. So right. I needed him, right? It wasn't like I didn't need him back. I just didn't trust Norris.
Well, that's the thing. It all depends. If you're a Camp Bedrosian owner, you obviously need him more. But, I mean, I want him for $54, $57. I'm not going to go crazy for Bud Norris. I think that's a fair amount to put up for a guy
out of 1,000, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm, you know, it's not something. Look, you're going to take a shot. A lot of it is taking shots. Sometimes you win. Sometimes you lose.
I'll be honest with you. I need saves. I'm starting to. I need saves. Like I was like, I'm not even playing that game. I got in Tout Wars. Yeah, you've heard of this. I have a 3.5 out of 15, and that's like the only one where I'm low at. So I got. I need saves.
Did you bid on him?
No, I didn't.
But you need saves.
I thought he's a bum, though. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what he's going.
Well, I'll say this.
How long is homeboy going to be out?
We don't have a timetable.
Yeah.
Last year, he had some back injuries in the second half. But there was a stretch.
He also had the blood clot issue, too.
He did pitch pretty well. Bud Norris did pitch pretty well in spurts. I mean, like I said, can you rely on the guy? Ross. Absolutely not.
Speaking of the Angels, the other story with this team from over the weekend was that Garrett Richards was moved to the 60-day disabled list because the biceps tightness is still there. Now, Garrett Richards said, listen, I want to pitch. Like, I feel good. Obviously, the Angels and the trainers and the doctors, they don't agree. Matt, I asked Nando this last night because we own him in our 15-team league. I asked, is Garrett Richards droppable? His response was, and the reason I'm asking you this is, you know, I talked to Chris Vaccaro, and Chris Vaccaro said, yeah, I'm dropping him everywhere. Are you dropping Garrett Richards?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a talent, but look what happened last year. 60-day DL. I mean, are you waiting for this guy? Absolutely not.
I think when a guy's on the 60-day DL, that, you know, it says to two words to me. Cut him. And you know, especially you being a not patient owner, I would think if somebody's on a 60-day DL, you would just send him on a highway right away.
It's too long, Greg. That's too long. You can't wait around for 2 months for a guy.
Marcus Stroman for the Blue Jays yesterday pitched a second complete game in a row. 7 hits, 2 runs, only one of them already struck out 5. Under 100 pitches in 9 innings. Marcus Stroman, one of those guys that's not bitching about the WBC because his momentum is clearly carried over.
Marcus Stroman has 2 complete games. I think the rest of the American League has 2 complete games.
There you go. John Gibbons trusting his guy. Speaking of Toronto, new leadoff hitter is Kevin Pillar. Devin Travis has been dropped in the lineup. He's batting 8th because he's batting 136. Travis hit his first home run of the year yesterday. Pillar hit his 3rd yesterday. And now is the average of 315, 342. You get caught stealing again. Pillar reminds me of our guy here, Matt, right? Kevin Pillar reminds us of Kevin Kiermaier.
Yeah, same type of
player. And we said that Thursday, Friday. Pillar is out there in some leagues, maybe not 15-team leagues, but in 12-team leagues, Kevin Pillar is out there. Is he somebody that we should be picking up right now?
He's a player that you could have. I mean, even if you pick him up and put him on your bench, I mean, look, even in a 12-team league, that's what, 60 outfielders? Plus, if you have utility, a lot of people like to use outfielders.
Yep.
So, he's a guy that, and even in a 12-team league, especially if he's batting leadoff, and like you said, the comp to Kiermaier, very good. He's, in my opinion, a poor man's Kiermaier.
Okay.
He's awesome. Matt touched on it. The fact that he's batting leadoff, you know what I'm saying? Yep. These guys should really be owned when they're in that kind of position. Now, we don't know if the Blue Jays are ever going to hit.
But he's hitting. He's the only one that's hitting.
Exactly.
And if the other one's hitting, he's going to score runs because he's batting leadoff.
Because he's on base.
So there's a lot to like about Pillar. Of course, the Blue Jays lost another guy, Scotty, this weekend with Tulowitzki going on the DL. And by the way, it was just a couple weeks ago where you told me, your Blue Jays insider said, quote, Troy Tulowitzki's in the best shape of his life.
Yeah.
He's just healthy as he's ever been. The same thing you told us every year before he went on the DL. I apologize for whatever that was.
Best shape of his life.
I apologize for whatever that was. But nevertheless, Tulo was back on the DL where he's at a rest. He's, you know, you came home to the Roto Experts. Trey Lewis, he went home to the DL.
Yeah. And you know, back to your point about Pillar, too. You know, this is a guy that they originally brought in for the defense, though, but he can give you 275, 15 home runs, 15 steals. The BABIP's at 345 right now, so the batting average is going to come down. But I think every time I see the Blue Jays, Pillar is doing something. You
exactly.
Know, he's a guy that you know this team has started to play a little bit better recently, and he's part of it.
Hey, I'm have a situation. The kid out there. Would you bench him? I mean, would you play him over Jose Bautista?
Who's the kid out there?
Who's the kid out there?
Out there, that's what I'm saying.
Aaron Al. I got you.
Bautista had a big home run the other night, but that's few and far between. Althea's come up, and you know this is a guy that can give you power and speed, and now he's got an opportunity to play. I'm okay with doing it until Bautista starts heating up again.
Althea does have a really good week. I think he's got a few lefties facing him this week. So, the tough thing for me is that week you do bench Joey Bats.
He's going to go down.
He's going to hit like, you know, 3 homers, 10 RBIs.
What do you think, Sussman?
I'd probably go with Bautista for the same reason. Like, if you bench him, he's like one of those 5 home run weeks, you'll kill yourself.
But I don't see, Greg, but you're the guy that's not patient, though. You're the guy that's willing to cut and drop and mix and match.
In the right scenario, right? Like, I'm not doing it with Jose
Bautista's batting 132.
Well, like I said, this is a week where Altier does have good matchups. So, I mean, I haven't looked at Joey Bats' matchup.
When I'm in a close spot like that, I'm going to go with the hot a player, it's Altier.
Let me ask you guys this: when it comes to picking up players, you mentioned Aaron Altier. I'm glad you did. Modigo, I'll go to you because I know Scott's gonna have this guy. One of these guys last. Would you rather, in order, how would you rank these three outfielders: Kevin Pillar, Aaron Altier, and Gerardo Parra? And of course, I'm not asking you for the rest of the season because the rest of the season's 6 months long. Right now, these three guys could be available in leagues. Those three guys, how would you rank them?
I think Gerardo Parra with the Colorado thing, it's tough for me to pass up. Pillar is playing well right now. That average isn't going to last. I'm going to say Parra, Pillar, Altier. It's just really close with all three.
Scotty?
Altier, Pillar, Parra.
Okay. Corey Parson.
Altier, Parra. And then
Pillar.
Pillar. Yeah, nah, this is a tough one right here, Greg. Yeah, I'll go in that order. But I like all three players.
I like all three players too. I mean, Altuve's the hottest. I mean, he's gotten a hit in like 30 consecutive games or something like that for the Phillies. So my initial reaction was going to be Pilar, Parra, Altuve. I don't know. They're all the same. They're all good.
Remember how much we all liked Altuve before he got hurt.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the best quotes of the weekend was somebody asked the Phillies GM, "What did you like about Altuve this weekend or the other day?" He's like that he hit the ball into left center at 111 miles an hour. So they're definitely monitoring what he's doing.
Yeah,
and just what Scott said. Yeah, I think they're all three close.
We'll talk more about the Phillies and the Braves in a little bit. But coming up next, Scotty talks to Kevin Long. I'm excited to hear what Kevin Long had to say. He's the saving grace of Curtis Granderson. Can he do it again? We'll have to find out. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning. Roto Experts at the Park. Next, here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You're back on the Roto Experts, which means Roto Experts at the Park is back as well. You got to go out to City Field and talk to a whole lot of people. And last week, you got the chance to catch up with Kevin Long.
Yeah, Kevin Long, the hitting coach for the Mets. And Kevin, actually right here, and you know, we have a preview of this clip. He's going to talk about the hot start of Jay Bruce and some mechanical adjustments that he made with Travis d'Arnaud during the offseason. Travis d'Arnaud is off to a really good start this year, and I was talking about some mechanical changes that maybe you made with him. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, he came to Arizona this offseason, and we talked about being a little quieter on his front side, which he's done a nice job of, and flattening his bat. He had an extreme pointed angle with his bat towards the pitcher, and he's flattened that out, and it's helped him be shorter to the ball.
Jay Bruce is off to a good start, too, and I read where Jay is like, he really embraced his sabermetrics and kind of leads on TJ Barron, you guys, for that.
Well, what he's done is he's really shrunk his strike zone, and you know, proud of him for doing that. You know, so far this year, he's really honed in on the strike zone and been able to lay off pitches outside of it, and he's seeing some dividends for doing that.
There you go. There's Kevin Long, and for the full audio of Kevin Long and Scott's interview with him, head on over to RotoExperts.com the next day or two. You can also download it on demand whenever you want. The full interview with Kevin Long at City Field. There's a lot of good stuff in there, Corey, Scotty.
Yeah, there is, and very interesting what he says about Bruce. I'll be writing more about that on Roto Experts, too, that, you know, Bruce, everybody, like, really got on him for the bad August last year, but he was really good in September, and then, you know, he studied sabermetrics with the Mets staff and said he had a goal of a 50. He told the New York Times he had a goal of having a 50% fly ball rate this year and was going to hit the ball more to right center field.
So, and he's obviously been working on that, like you said, with Kevin Long, and he's had some success. And, you know, Jay Bruce and so many of these power hitters are such streaky guys. And Jay Bruce off to the hot start, kind of like we saw in Cincinnati last year, where this is the reason the Mets traded for him, right? Because he was so hot with Cincinnati, and he goes on a streak. Of course, Jay Bruce last night went 1-for-4, about .271. But the power is there for Jay Bruce, and it's making teams that really had an opportunity to trade nothing for him during the offseason probably regret it.
Yeah, he had four home runs in his first seven games as a Met. Last year, it took him 29 games to hit his first four home runs last year.
Crazy. It's just that simple how streaky players could be. Like, we look at the Yankees, for instance, and you see Aaron Judge off to a nice start, and, like, he's going to go through slumps. Like, all these guys go through slumps. Even Yoenis Cespedes, right? Like, he had all this power early on, and then he went, before he got hurt, went into a little bit of a slump. Like, it happens.
Especially with the power hitters, you know, exactly. they go through these big hot and cold spells.
Although Michael Conforto is as hot as anybody right now. 3-for-4 yesterday, including a bomb against Max Scherzer.
Yeah.
And this is where Mets fans want him, leading off.
Leading off and playing regularly. You know, this talk is Granderson expendable now.
We'll talk more about the Mets and the Nats coming up in a little bit. Staking the NL East, back to the Phillies and the Braves, too. 1 hour down, one more to go. Baseball rules all here on the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two, Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The King has come home. Matt Modica, Corey Parson as well. And we're talking about all these outfielders. Aaron Altherr, Gerardo Parra, Kevin Pillar. But if you pick somebody up, you got to drop somebody. So we all like these guys in some order. We're all kind of high on all of them except for Scotty with Parra. But we all like the other two. Are we dropping like a Keon Broxton for Aaron Altherr, Scotty?
Yeah, that's a tough one. But you know, similar skill set, sort of. I think maybe more pop from Altherr than Broxton. I would do it. That I would.
Modica?
I couldn't do it just yet. Look, a lot of it does have to do with the draft spot that he did have and what I paid. But also, what I saw him do last season. I mean, what he did last season was pretty damn impressive. And as Scott said, we were excited about Altherr last year. And I do like him, too. But I'm going to take the guy in Milwaukee. I just love that part. The team that runs constantly. If this kid can get his game going again, he's the guy to own.
Well, that's not like Citizens Bank is a park to sneeze at.
No, not that it's not. But, I mean, look what Broxton did in, 200 plate appearances last season.
That's why I drive him.
Nobody runs like Milwaukee. That's my point. I'm not saying that Altherr is bad. And I'm not saying, in certain situations, maybe it's warranted to pick up Altherr over Broxton. I'm just, for what I paid for him in the couple of leagues that I have him, I just can't cut bait on April 24th.
Speaking of Altherr, Phillies yesterday defeated the Braves by the score of 5-2. Cesar Hernandez is his fourth home run of the year.
Jesus Christ.
It's insane. It's insane.
Not what you drafted him for. It's like, you know, people screaming at the screen like, I didn't. Will you steal a base instead of hitting a home run? But the guy is off to a terrific
he
start.
Is on, he is in fuego. He is getting it done. And now is it Cesar or Cesar?
I always thought it was Cesar. No?
Cesar, Cesar, same thing. Don't make a damn difference. The kid is playing good ball right now.
I have understood it to be Cesar.
All right. Cesar Hernandez. Cesar Hernandez. It's, you know.
You say tomato. I say tomato.
I had three takeaways from this
game. Give it a minute. Is it the top three hitters in the Phillies lineup are awesome? Because that's true.
Well, I'll start first on the hitters, and then I have two pitchers. I'll do real quick. Brandon Phillips, 5 stolen bases on the year already.
Yep.
I mean, this guy
My
was
God,
cheap.
Brandon Phillips.
And now he's in the two hole. So go that dude. Quick on the pitching. Fulton Evans, what I'm impressed about him.
Well, I don't want to be quick on the pitching because I think there's stuff here with Fulton Evans and Zach Eflin. Like, I asked you guys about Zach Eflin last week, and I'm kind of interested.
I was thinking about you when I saw this line break.
And I know you've always been a Fulton Evans guy. Both of these guys, there's something to talk about here, Matt.
Yeah, well, on Fulty, the thing that it's more, look, 9 strikeouts to 2 walks, that's great. But what I'm more impressed is, and the one thing I think a lot of people liked him, but the one thing we were concerned about, is he a starting pitcher? Is he a bullpen guy? This is back-to-back starts of 7 innings pitched. That, to me, showing that he can go the distance in today's game. 7 innings is pretty damn good.
Yeah, last year the big inning was the bugaboo for him, and like he worked hard in the spring on preventing those type of situations, and it's really worked out for him so far. You know, this is a guy, power pitcher, very live fastball and very good curve. It's a 7.78 K per 9 right now, and I think that's going to improve. I think that's going to get better. And back to Cesar Hernandez right now, his home run to fly ball rate is 27.6%. So regression, you will be coming.
Well, Fulton Evich, back-to-back 7 innings here, and then you had Zach Eflin, who started twice, and he's had back-to-back good starts, too. I opened the show talking about how there's no pitchers out there. They all stink. These two guys are out there. Should they be picked up?
Fulton Evich for sure. Eflin's drawn comparisons to Tanner Roark.
That's pretty good. I like Tanner Roark. Me too.
But the thing with him is he's not a strikeout pitcher. I don't know if he's quite as good as Roark. You know, he might be more prone to the blow-up here and there because we did see that from him last year.
But the regression police will be coming for these guys, just like they are Andrew Triggs.
I don't think so on Foltynewicz.
You're totally buying Foltynewicz.
Yeah, I think he's only going to improve.
I agree with Scott on Foltynewicz. Eflin's not my kind of guy, not the kind of skill set that I invest in.
But I would like to talk about Neris
when you get a chance.
Well, absolutely. Foltynewicz right now is a guy that, like, are you rushing on the waiver wire to pick him up, Scotty?
Yeah, I would have had him already if I couldn't. He wasn't available in any of my leagues.
30 seconds on Hector Neris.
He's got the job right now. If you look at the last two outings, they have not gone smoothly. As a Joaquin Benoit owner, let's go, Joaquin.
We'll talk more about the Phillies, a little bit about the Mets, and the Nationals coming your way next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Like that, I picked up Mike Foltynewicz, everybody. Welcome to the spot.
I hate that you can do that.
I know you do.
It burns me up that you can just pick a guy up just like that while we're doing
that. He's mine.
I don't like that. It needs to be some kind of where everybody has a fair chance.
He's mine. Everyone had a fair chance. I beat him.
Fairness and fairness, that's what the league agreed upon, and there is a limit of 4 pickups a week, which
correct.
I only have three now. That definitely keeps it...
All of my leagues, I have to wait until Sunday to do my pickups.
That sucks. Stinks for you. I can do it. I can talk with my friends here at 9 a.m. on a Monday morning, pick up somebody right away.
So, by the way, every outfielder
I've mentioned thus far, Pilar, Parra, they're all there. Every one of them are there.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they're not like in a 12-team league to me. These aren't guys you got to rush out and get.
Right. Right, and that's why they're all there. That's why I'm asking you about it. You guys told me, like, Foltynewicz was the first guy that we brought up this morning that everybody at this table was like, you got to go grab him right now. Like, the first guy. Everyone else we've had a debate about, we've had a discussion. Foltynewicz, you guys are like, do this.
Universal.
So I did it.
I like him.
I listen to my team. I listen to my team here. So last night, of course, the Nationals beat up the Mets.
Yay.
By the score of 6-3. They were led yesterday by Danny Murphy's third home run of the year, a grand salami. Ryan Zimmerman, who, as Matt said on Friday, we don't talk about enough, he's sixth home run of the year. Ryan Zimmerman, Scott.
This is ridiculous.
This is ridiculous.
And you'll hear my interview with Ryan Zimmerman later on demand this week.
How about that?
A little preview
also
of the Roto Experts.
Murphy. And it's very interesting because... Rick Shue, the hitting coach, and Murphy both work with Ryan Zimmerman on his launch angle and his mechanics, and talk with him on launch angle and exit velocity and how important it is. And Zimmerman has bought in. Zimmerman told the Washington Post, "I first hated sabermetrics when I came in the league,
like me.
But now I've embraced them, and I think it's kind of helping me." And you see the results here. Nope. I also think from an intangibles point of view, them getting Adam Lynn kind of lit a fire under him too.
I don't think he's embracing sabermetrics, but he still has like a love for the disabled list, and that's coming. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, it is. But until then, though, he's changed his launch angle, and it's doing wonders.
First thing, the King is crushing it at the park. Good job.
They're doing good stuff out there.
He really is.
Too bad the team sucks.
but the whole thing with Zimmerman has been a guy that can hit the ball hard. And when you take on, say, like you talk about these advanced analytics stuff, and when you implement, say the launch angles and stuff, as Corey said, though, and I mentioned that on Friday, he's like milk. He will have an expiration date because, unfortunately, he always gets hurt.
Adam Eaton, of course, leading off. Good average at 284 right now. And Daniel Murphy's been really everything the Nationals asked for when they signed him last year. Pitching-wise, Max Scherzer was fantastic. 8 innings, 5 hits, 3 runs. 9 strikeouts. We mentioned the home run of Conforto. Neil Walker also hit his second home run of the year against Scherzer.
Neil Walker's on my top Wolves team. Ring the bell, Greg.
You got it. No problem. So, no Sean Kelly yesterday. They bring in Oliver Perez to start the inning. He immediately allows a double. Mets fans used to that one. And then Cody Glover comes on, and he pitches a perfect inning here, gets a strikeout, and Cody Glover gets his second save of the year. Now, Scotty, you were at the park. You asked about the closing situation, and they said, listen, it is an open competition. We're just trying to find a guy that'll work. Glover, Kelly, what are you hearing?
Well, Kelly got the first three. But then Glover's got the last two, and you'll hear my interview with Chris Spier, the bench coach of the Nationals, on demand later this week. I said, look, Chris, I know you don't know a lot about fantasy, but I drafted both Glover and Kelly. What am I expecting here? And he said, this is an open audition, and whoever steps up is going to get the job. But he did mention that Kelly's had two Tommy John surgeries and he's had trouble staying healthy, so I'm leaning Glover.
Oh, they're going to do Close the Idol.
So what I don't really understand here is, now, Sean Kelly, for instance. Sean Kelly pitched on the 20th, the 21st. All right, so Glover gets a save on Saturday. Expected. He pitched back-to-back games. 23rd comes. Still no Kelly. Is it because he pitched 2 days in a row? They wanted to give him 2 days off? What are you guys thinking?
I'm thinking it is what it is. The thing with Kelly is he struck out 80 guys in 58 innings last year.
That's good.
But like Chris Spier told me, he's got a history of health. So it could be a shared thing here. It was very interesting because the Grand Street Tavern League, I didn't stay up to watch the Met game last night because I had to go to bed to get up early for the Sincott and Engel show. So I put in a hefty bid on Sean Kelly, $270-something. And then I went, damn. I said, Billy Hayes got him for over 300. But I went back and said, oh, Glover got this save last night and he's on my bench.
Here's the thing with Sean Kelly. Right now, I think he has like a 73% first pitch strike, 17-18% swing and miss strike. Sean Kelly has the skills. As Scott mentioned, it's the health. And I think this could work for the Nationals right now. Mix and match in, you know, maybe even Blake Tryon if they need a ground ball. He comes in with that nasty sinker. So I don't think it's going to be one guy right now. I don't think somebody's taking it. I think Glover, Kelly are the lead guys that'll fight it. But I wouldn't be surprised if even Blake Tryon gets a shot here or there when they need a ground ball.
If Cody Glover's out there, Matt, should he be picked up?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I would go all the way.
I think there's guys on people's benches that, you know.
I am going to.
I couldn't get Spire to say it.
He's on your damn waiver wire, Greg. That's not fair.
Yeah, I'm dropping. I'm going to do that right now.
I couldn't get Spire to say it, but I get the feeling. Or I couldn't. I was also talking to one of the beat guys, Mark Zuckerman, who I'll be writing about some of his quotes in at the park on Roto Experts this week. I couldn't get him to spit out that Glover's going to be the guy just yet, but I think there's a feeling that he's the closer of the future.
I have added...
No, my guy David Robinson's going
to... I have added Cody Glover to my team. Thank you.
Well done, Monday morning. Wave wire exercises.
This is ridiculous.
I only have two pickups left for the week now.
Well, real quick on Daniel Murphy.
How many teams in that league?
12.
Since the start of last season, Murphy's leading, going into last night, was leading MLB in batting average and versus the Mets, and then he now has, after last night, 8 homers and like 25 RBIs.
Yeah.
Statement.
Good.
Frustrating, I'm sure. Zach Wheeler last night, 7 innings, 4 hits, 4 runs. He struck out 6. What have you thought of Wheeler's season thus far, Matt?
It's overall, I'm actually impressed.
Yeah,
overall.
Better than you expected.
He's had, you know, a bad inning here or there. Like, he started off the game. He barely hit Eaton. He gave up a couple of hits, then the grand slam. After that, he pitched the rest of those next 7 innings. He pitched really well. And if you watch that game, you came away. Look, he didn't lose it. He didn't start walking guys. That, to me, is impressive.
I agree. I've been impressed with Wheeler as well. Yeah. Coming back from this injury, missing 2 years, you feel good for him, Corey?
Nah, I do. I do feel good for him. You know what I'm saying? Starting to get his feet under him and stuff like that. So I was checking out of it and reading some of the stuff on him also. So, yeah, Zach Wheeler has been solid, steady, you know what I'm saying? Trying to get the ship moving in the right direction. So I'm happy for him.
Scotty, Zach Wheeler, of course, not the forgotten man, but like, you know, with Steven Matz when he was healthy and, you know, Seth Lugo was healthy. Zach Wheeler was supposed to start extended spring training. Here he is now, pitched every game, and he's still healthy, which is, I think, his accomplishment in itself.
When you talk about forgotten, I remember when him and Harvey were both coming up and Wheeler was actually getting more hype than Harvey.
And, I remember that too.
Yeah, and, you know, to Matt's point, You know, he's gotten bitten by big innings in a few of his starts, and then has really settled down. But it's encouraging because I think there are a lot of people who are not even expecting him to see him in the majors in April yet.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
After the Mets, talking to the other New York team, the Yankees, who fell yesterday to Pittsburgh by the score of 2-1. Jordan Montgomery, though, pitches very, very well again. 6 innings, 7 hits, 2 runs. Walked a couple guys, but struck out 5. You're happy to see that. Montgomery's been good. But Ivan Nova against his former team pitched 7 innings. Sports, a run, struck out 7 guys. Nova, as good as advertised when you drafted him.
92 innings pitched with the Pirates. 4 walks, 67 strikeouts.
He's doing and since real good. He's come up from the Yankees going into yesterday, he had the best strikeout-to-walk ratio in the majors.
You know who got the save, Matt?
Tony Watson.
Save
number 6.
Out of that bullpen, he's pitched the best. I expected Nicasio and Hudson to be better.
Doesn't matter, Scotty. Yeah. He got the job done. Hey, more of the Pirates and the Yankees in a little bit. I also have another outfielder I want to add to the list that is growing. We'll talk about that on the other side of this here on the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Modica said during the break, who knew batting Jacoby Ellsbury cleanup would change his life? 380 OBP right now for Ellsbury, who had his second home run of the year. He's also running. He's feeling young again, so they say. Hey, for Pittsburgh, we mentioned being wrong about Tony Watson, Matt. I feel like everybody was wrong on Adam Frazier. Dude doesn't play.
Yeah, Adam Frazier, I had him. I don't know why he was still on my bench in one of my leagues. He was cut this weekend. We said bye-bye to him. I mean, I don't know what the Pirates are going to do. Cause I don't think Austin Meadows, first off, he's not playing well in the minors right now, but I don't think Meadows is coming up before like June, end of May. You know, they're not going to rush his
no.
clock. So maybe it's a mix and match. John Jayshaw can't play the outfield, so putting him out there is kind of a disaster.
Yeah, I think we're seeing going to see a lot of Jose Osuna out there, who was called up, of course, after Starling Marte's suspension. Pirates are another team, much like the Giants, I think they're in trouble for the record, even though they won yesterday. I think this Marte injury is bad.
Yeah, the Pirates, like we said, we all figure bad start. Andrew McCutchen's gone. And, you know, does that lead to, say, if Garrett Cole continues to pitch well, is he gone next? I mean, are they just going to do the whole rehaul?
The whole rebuild.
Blow it up.
Blow it all up. Hey, in Tampa Bay yesterday, the Houston Astros came away with a 10-inning victory, defeating Tampa Bay by the score of 6-4. I was interested in both starters in this game. I'll start with Joe Musgrove. 6 innings, 5 hits, 4 runs, 4 strikeouts. You guys know this table. I've been on Musgrove for a while. I was very frustrated when he allowed 4 runs in the first inning. I started throwing things. But he didn't allow any runs after
careful,
that.
Greg, be careful with that.
I appreciate it.
You might hit somebody.
Yeah. He didn't allow any runs after that. And he only walked one guy, and he struck out 4. What did you think of this Musgrove performance, Scotty?
Yeah, Musgrove is a very, mic, very, buddy. Very talented young pitcher. But a lot of the times these guys come up and they don't hit right away. They just don't. You know, he's only averaging 5.48 Ks per 9. He's got a 5.91 ERA and a 5.10. He's got a 5.10 FIP. A lot of these times you'll see guys come up like Glasnow and Snell, and you know, and it'll be bumpy. It'll be very up and down. You know, we expect so much out of these young guys right away. You know, it doesn't always happen. You know, we even saw your boy in Seattle, you know, last week get blown up.
Yeah, Paxton we're talking about?
Yeah, Paxton.
Well, Paxton did pitch well. I mean, he did pitch well. I mean,
pitched 7 strikeouts in the first 9 guys.
But what I'm saying is that, you know, there's going to be bumpy starts, but a lot of
every start has been bumpy for Musgrove.
Well, yeah.
I think you touched on it. I think you touched on the main points here, but Joe Musgrove is control is his game.
Yeah.
He's not a guy that's going to get the swing and miss. That's why I really don't own him anywhere. I'm not saying he shouldn't be owned. I mean, 15 teams, he should definitely be owned. 12 teams, he's ownable. But what do you... I just don't see the... I don't see the strikeout numbers being there. And his margin of error, if the control isn't impeccable, he can get hurt.
Yeah, this is a dangerous guy to deal with right here. He's owned in every league I'm in. You know what I mean? But still, he's a guy. He's a jag.
Yeah, I'm with you. On the other side, you had Matt Andrews, 5 innings, 6 hits, 3 runs. He walked 2, struck out 4. He's a name we threw out last week as well as a guy that you could pick up to start this weekend. I've kind of gone back and forth on him. I feel like Corey said it right with Joe Musgrove. Andrews seems like a jag to me as well.
He's definitely a jag. 15 teamers, I actually dropped him this week for Jordan Montgomery, who was still around in one of my leagues. I pretty much picked him up everywhere else. I definitely overbid for Jordan Montgomery, but hey, I got him. Andres, a 12 teamer, pitches, being a pitches at the Trop, spot starter here and there. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I feel like. Like Musgrove is eventually not going to be a jag. Like Andrisi, Bezega got off to a decent start. His FIP is 5.28 though, and he's got an 86.4% strand rate though. So you're playing with some danger there.
Hey Scott, why do you think Musgrove not going to be a jag? What's going to change?
I think he's a very talented kid who's going to get better.
I also agree with Scott, but I'm talking about for 2017.
So I want to agree with Scott. I just haven't seen any signs this year to agree with Scott.
It's
April.
Like I said, it's going to be bumpy for a lot of these young kids, especially when they're exposed to like their first extensive tenure in the big leagues like Musgrove now.
Right. We'll see. I'm somebody that owns Joe Musgrove, and I don't really want to own Joe Musgrove anymore, to be honest with you.
That's a guy that, like, when Matt would say, that's what my bench is for right now.
How would
now.
He say it?
What?
How would he say
it? Don't do this.
Look, this is why you got a bench, and you leave him there.
For Houston, Jose Altuve hit his second home run. Carlos Correa also hit his second home run. But the outfield...
Yo, hold on one second about Altuve. Yes, his average is 324 now.
Yeah.
324?
324, Poppy.
For the other outfielder I was interested in, I mentioned early last week, that was Josh Reddick. He went over 5, but without George Springer, who got hurt over the weekend as well, Reddick let off. 283 average, 298 OBP. I know the OBP is very, very bad. I get that. Reddick's a streaky player. You want to get in on him when the streak's about to start. Matt, what do you think of Josh Reddick?
As I mentioned last week, he's a bench guy for me. Like he's a good guy to have on a bench. Corey called him a glue guy in deeper leagues. I think that's a perfect analysis of him. With the Astros, I don't like Reddick batting. I think what they should do right now, if Springer's not going to be in for a couple games, put Bregman leadoff. Let this kid get going. This kid can hit.
Yeah, I think that would make sense as well. Scotty, you know Josh Reddick?
Yeah, I have Josh Reddick in one league. So far, he's hitting 283. You know, if you get 270, 15 home runs at him, that's fine. With Reddick, the one thing is, you know he'll produce some decent numbers for you, but health has always been a big issue with him.
Yeah, health has been an issue. He's obviously got power. He's a streaky player. You've seen the average gone up and down. It was much higher a week ago when Matt and I talked about him last. Now, it's come down as it has the OBP. How worried are you, Corey, about the George Springer injury from over the weekend?
I'm not really worried about it. Now, don't get me wrong. I got a couple teams with George Springer on, and those teams are playing very well because mainly because of George Springer and my great ability of drafting. But hamstring injuries, we know how they tend to roll. So we want him to get the hamstring fully healthy and then come back because if not, remember, like our boy Dr. A says, these things linger, you can re-aggravate them and stuff
the
like
report,
that.
The report I saw said it was so mild that they expect him back on Tuesday.
Very good to hear. Hey, Matt, Kevin Kiermaier's first day off of the year yesterday, well-deserved after how hot he was last week.
Well, the sad thing was he was very hot entering the weekend. He got sick. He left the game Friday night or something with a sickness.
Yep, so exactly. Played Saturday.
The bug got him, but the other guy in the outfield, Steven Souza.
It's insane.
I mean, the one thing that I've gotten, I was like, why is this guy doing so? I mean, look, there was a lot to like about him a couple of years ago. People, he was a part of that big blockbuster trade, Trey Turner, Joe Ross, him. But the thing so far this season, he's had 2 years with over 400 plate appearances, and in both those years, he had a 34% strikeout.
Ooh.
This season, it's down like 10%, like 24%, 25%. If he can maintain that with the power-speed combo, this could be real.
Well, there's one thing he's not going to maintain, and it's that 449 BABIP.
Yeah, we're not expecting
that's
him.
Crazy, but there's some other thing. He's hitting a lot more line drives right now, and he's also swinging a lot of less pitches outside of the zone.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the thing that jumped off to me was the strikeout percentage, the walk. When you look at the improvements, when 100%, you make those improvements.
100%. What I said about swinging less outside of the zone. He's shown better plate discipline. We heard about Sousa, like, before 2015, like, just when he was moved to Tampa Bay in the last 2 years have been disappointing, but it's been a very encouraging start.
We've spoken about this entire Rays outfield, guys, from Dickerson to Kiermaier to Sousa. All three guys getting it done right now for the Tampa Bay Rays.
Hey, this game right here, though, was 3 hours and 40 minutes.
It's a long one.
That's a problem.
Well, it's 10 innings. It was extras.
Oh, okay. Still, it's too long to sit at the ballpark. You imagine how drunk people left that stadium yesterday?
Probably pretty intoxicated.
Well, what was the attendance, though? It was Tampa Bay.
Oh.
We don't do attendance. We just do game time.
I'm saying there's not that many people drunk. People don't go to Rays games.
15,000.
That's a good point.
Exactly.
You know, I mentioned Keon Broxton, and we talk about all these outfielders that we could pick up, and you got to drop someone. One of them was Keon Broxton, but another guy that, you know, we talked about last week is someone you have to pick up. He is Avisail Garcia, but Jake Seeley was very adamant, like, listen, you want to pick him up, and you can pick him up, that's fine, but we're going to be on the tail end of this. You're not picking it up as this peak is kind of ascending. It's going to descend because he's not going to bat 500 all year, which we all obviously understood. Avisail Garcia hit his second double of the year yesterday. The average is quote-unquote down to 371 with the OBP at 426. I'm not saying drop Avisail Garcia, but are we seeing the end of the monstrous run, Matt?
Look, the whole thing is, what was the cost? What was the cost to acquire
Nothing.
Who did you cut? I'm going to take a chance on a 25-year-old guy who we've all liked in the past, which great comparisons and comps. Guy lost, 18 pounds? He looked pretty damn fast in that Yankee series, beat nothing. Yes, you are getting in at the tail end, but it's all about expectations from that point on. You're not looking at a guy that's getting about 400, 370. You want to see some pop. He seems to be driving the ball better. As I mentioned, the ground ball, the fly ball rate was even now. This is a guy that was at two, higher, or right around two, which is terrible for his game. So I think there is some promise here, but you have to have reasonable expectations.
The thing with Garcia is...
This team sucks.
They don't have a lot of
They're
talent.
Terrible.
The thing with Garcia is like talking to some White Sox insiders before the season. You know, they felt like Garcia was a 5 o'clock hitter. That he just did great batting practice, great looking physique, etc. You know, like Corey says, look good getting off the plane and everything. But there was also a feeling that this could be the last chance for Garcia to maybe prove himself, and maybe he knows that.
We've been on him at 25 years old. I agree with you, both of you guys. It's worth taking a shot.
Yeah.
Your boy Timmy Anderson batting leadoff 2-for-4 yesterday. How about that with a double? Average all the way up to 179,
starting
baby.
Starting to heat up, Greg. He's Tim Anderson starting to heat up.
He's going to keep climbing. This guy's going to hit at least 270.
I'll take the under.
Yeah, well, because you cut him already.
I'll take the under.
Of course, you don't want to look wrong for cutting him.
I'm not going to. I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it. The OBP at 203 too.
Yeah, but what is it? April 24th now.
I can't wait till he tells me it's July 24th. I'm not going
to. Well, like I did with Mookie Betts last year, right?
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What are you? He's the guy's like in the high school cafeteria.
I was so pumped when Mookie was terrible in April. For the White
that was
Sox,
good radio.
That was good radio. That was embarrassing. Derek Holland had 6 innings of 3 hits, 1 run.
Are you going to pick him up?
No. Walk 3, okay. Strikeout 6. The ERA's at 199, Scott, even though he got bombed by the Yankees.
Yeah, I'm not picking up Derek Holland. No.
Corey asked about him last week.
Track record is awful.
About him last week. Everybody was like, no, are you crazy?
He's like Wade Miley's brother from another mother.
What was his last good year? Like 2013 or something like that?
I don't pay no interest to the Dutch Oven.
The Indian starter who you do pay attention to is Danny Salazar. You look at the numbers, you look at the line, it was a Danny Salazar start. 5 innings, 7 hits, 4 runs, he walked 3, but he struck out 9.
It wasn't a classic Salazar start, because if it did, we would have got at least 2 more walks.
Well, no, he's
or only, 2 more strikeouts.
In his last three outings, he's walked 7 batters and struck out 27.
Yeah.
You know, I think he gave up 3 in the first. So, like I said, Danny Salazar is a guy that's a step away from really...
He's improving, I think.
I'll tell you what. if this was the quote-unquote Danny Salazar start, I'm quoting myself because, you know, whatever. If this is the bad Danny Salazar start where he's five innings, four runs, a bunch of walks, the fact that he's still striking out 9-10 guys, it gives you some solace, I think. So I think that's a really good thing. Let's talk more about the Indians and the White Sox coming up, as well as Cincinnati and Chicago. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the Morning coming your way next. Baseball to get to here.
Don't lick me.
On the program.
Get your mouth away from me, Scott.
We had Jason Kipnis obviously returned on Friday. Played Friday, Saturday, took yesterday off, did pinch hit. But what I was really excited to see Modica was that, as a Jose Ramirez owner, Kipnis was slotted in the sixth spot. Ramirez stayed fifth, so they kept the top five of the order as it was.
Yeah, Ramirez is a good little player. I wouldn't be moving him around. I'd keep him there. Encarnacion, he's going to get hot. He's starting to get a little, I think he hit a couple home runs this weekend. He's a guy that I know a lot of people seem to be kind of really worried about him. I'm really not.
Yep.
I don't know what to expect from Kipnis. I mean, we had Dr. A on the other day. So, I mean, what he's got to do. The encouraging thing for the Indians is Michael Brantley.
Absolutely.
How about that? Michael Brantley's getting it done.
Playing every day and hitting well.
And also, Yan Gomes has started to heat up over the past week, even though he got the day off yesterday.
Yeah, that average all the way up to 171, approaching Tim Anderson levels.
Well, considering it was 038, you know.
It's a nice jump.
Yeah, it's gone up 140 points.
Well, let's talk about Texas and Kansas City, guys, because the Rangers defeated the Royals yesterday by the score of 5-2. And I think we take a lot away from him here as well, because Yu Darvish pitched really well. Five hits, two runs, eight strikeouts over his eight innings, 313 pitches. And then Matt Bush came on in the ninth, and there was no drama. No drama at all. He pitches clean inning, gets a strikeout, gets a save.
Gets a save.
And Matt Bush, the closer, Corey, in Texas.
There you go. You spent $475 to pick him up a couple weeks ago. There goes your first save.
We talk about guys that, like Ryan Zimmerman has six home runs, and it's kind of gone, you know, under-talked about. Despite batting .213, Scott, Joey Gallo also has six home runs. I understand he doesn't get many hits, but when they do, they go really far.
They leave the ballpark.
He had two monster bombs on Friday. Like, one of them went into the popcorn stand, actually, in Texas. So, this guy, he's boom or bust. It's, you know, he's going to hit 220 if he plays regularly, and he's going to have 30 homers. You know, this is, right now, this guy looks like the new Chris Carter right here.
Hey,
that's what he is,
Scott,
statistically.
How you on the ball with in the popcorn stand?
As I saw the replay.
Oh, I thought maybe you get like a concession newsletter.
I have to say something real quick. Rangers backup catcher Robinson Chirinos.
It's insane.
He has 22 at bats, 22 plate appearances on the season. Four home runs.
Yeah. Four home runs, Robinson Chirinos.
Like LaCroix, you know he's the number one guy, but if you need a number two catcher, it's like Chirinos is like, every time he's getting to play, he's doing something.
But that's a really interesting thing.
Nice,
guys.
DFS play.
You have Robinson Chirinos, right? Like, why? So he doesn't play. He plays, let's say, two times a week, three times a week max, because Jonathan Lucroy is not sitting all that
just
much.
Just leave him in the lineup.
He's when he plays, he's going to help
just
me.
Just leave him in the lineup.
So why do I play some crappy second catcher when I can play this guy?
Yeah. Unless you're in an OPP league, why do you want Francisco Cervelli?
Correct. Right? Correct.
Yeah, no, I have
Austin Hedges. He stinks.
Austin Hedges stinks?
Austin Hedges
has been
on fire the last few days.
Home run-wise, yes. Average-wise, no, for the record.
Oh, he's getting
you back. Ask for a lot, Greg.
I do.
A fantasy
I expect
players.
To
averages fluctuate so much in April.
Well, I'm
it doesn't
just telling
matter.
You how I feel, Scott. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what a guy's average is right now.
Does it matter that Carlos Gomez at 200 and an OBP of 284, 294?
He's not going to hit 200 this year.
He might.
No. It was 250.
Well, Nomar Mazara had another two hits. He was 2-for-4.
That's George Kurt's boy.
Right?
That's my boy. I was talking about Mazara before last season.
Jerickson Profar.
Jeez, Scott,
Matt.
Relax.
Jerickson Profar batting ninth, playing every day, but batting 143. You got to be worried about this guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, I understand that Texas wants to give him the opportunity. He was a lot more appealing as a middle infielder to me, not as a left fielder. If Adrian Beltre can ever come back and help my New York main event team, I see Gallo probably going to left field. I think he's the guy that's, even though like Scott says he's batting whatever 206. He is making a statement with these home runs. I think they want to give him a longer look. But these are the, I'm not a big profile guy.
I can see that happening, that Gallo goes to left field when Beltre comes back.
Yeah, that's what I want to happen too.
Mike Moustakas for the Royals hit his sixth home run of the year. Moustakas off to a nice little start. Jorge Bonifacio playing for Lorenzo Cain yesterday. Bonifacio, he's up, and he got the start, and he hit his first home run. Yay.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's talking about Jorge Soler is coming back soon. Look, I was on Soler. That didn't work out. I do want to see him get an everyday opportunity in Kansas City. You know, just the raw tools, look, the power. But Bonifacio, kid, don't sleep on. He's going to get, you know,
I agree.
He can emerge in Kansas City.
Would you rather own, Scotty, quickly, Jorge Bonifacio or Dan Vogelbach?
Just pure straight out player, because
I'm talking to Mike. Nobody can hear
me. I'm going to say Bonifacio. I can see Vogelbach going back to the minors.
Okay. All right. There you go.
Besides, Vogelbach sounds like somebody who lives in my neighborhood.
I don't know what to take from that.
I don't need
it. He sounds like a fantasy expert. Like today from Tout Wars, we have Dan Vogelbach on.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I don't know.
You got a lot of fantasy experts live in your neighborhood?
What?
You got a lot of fantasy experts live in your neighborhood?
The guys who my old neighborhood, like, they would be like fantasy expert types. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still lost there. St. Louis yesterday, they beat the Brewers, and they won three in a row. And they were led yesterday by Mike Leake. Six innings, three hits, two runs, strikes out six. Evidently, Mike Leake is good now.
He said he's had the best offseason of his and spring training of his career.
Oh,
he's and he believes, no, not from a health perspective.
Okay.
He's saying, you know, he feels that he can mix his pitches better than ever before, but I don't trust him.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm not saying trust Mike Leake, but I mean, he gave us what, back-to-back, like 370 ERAs before last season.
Yep.
Where it all went to shit.
Yep.
But if you look what happened last season, there were two things that bounced off the page. It was the BABIP and the left on base percentage.
Yep.
So, and the fact that St. Louis, they went out and they got themselves a center fielder. Hopefully, you know, the defense is, you know, just don't play Matt Adams in left field. You know, the defense should be better. So, look, he's not going to pitch to a 132 ERA.
Is this the new Rota Experts where we can say it went to the shit? Like, just he just.
You were on serious, man. You could say whatever you wanted to before.
Yeah.
We weren't allowed to say anything. We weren't allowed to say that.
I think that was your own decisions.
No, that was, I was told.
I don't like it.
Say whatever you want, Scott.
Yeah. At the break, I will wash my mouth out with soap.
Yeah.
Matt, don't let him talk to you like that. Sung Wong Oh.
Like what?
Sung Wong Oh had his fifth save of the season, and he kind of calmed down a little bit.
Seemed like he's starting to, you know, relax, get comfortable with the position. Maybe, you know what I'm saying, the locker room, the clubhouse area, maybe he's more comfortable around his teammates, whatever. So he feels good.
Or just getting warmer and he's feeling better.
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah, you're right. That's
been a very bumpy start from 5.59 ERA. And you had Trevor Rosenthal coming back off the DL recently. And sometimes, and I think this is what Ryan Zimmerman.
Right.
Sometimes when somebody is maybe behind you and threatening your job, you know, it causes you to, you know, to bear down a little more. And maybe that's what's happened with O.
Yeah, I agree with that, Scott. I'm a believer in that. But this is the thing with O. The first, like, five or six starts. It was like six innings or just over. He only had like two or three strikeouts. He came in this weekend, pitches a clean inning, strikes out three, struck out another two yesterday. This is what you want to see. This is the guy that you bought in on. So hopefully O is good to go.
Yeah, if he's calming,
I like that.
Down and getting in there.
I see you
there.
Good. I like
this
that.
Game was 3 hours and 15 minutes, too, by
go.
The way.
How's Jimmy Nelson doing, Matt?
Well, as we said, we were nervous about Jimmy Nelson this week. The Cubs and the Cardinals. I did not cut Jimmy Nelson.
Neither did I, for the record.
Yeah, no, he's going to... The main thing was the six walks.
That's horrible.
That one inning, the defense did not help him. I'll give him a pass on that. But you can't be walking six batters. That's unacceptable. And like I said, as much as I was intrigued by Jimmy Nelson can get cut awful quick as well. This is a big week for him.
Yeah, it was like before.
Oh, this is a make or break week, huh?
Before 2015, I wrote Jimmy Nelson, you know, and he hasn't delivered yet.
Well, I mean, you have to look at these Brewers guys. Like Chase Anderson's got like 16, 17 starts with like three runs or less.
Yep.
Yeah.
As much as you don't want to believe in these guys, you got to start with taking at least a shot.
Hey, in case you guys,
Willie Peralta.
Yeah, in case you guys were wondering, Keon Broxton strikeout percentage up to 42% right now.
My goodness.
I think that's actually down. In all honesty, be all fairness, he was like Broxton was like 50, and he was like 47 or 48.
Love it.
VR's hitting 185.
VR's hitting 185, which is slightly better than Keon Broxton's 175.
Very disturbing.
Very disturbing.
Even more disturbing because look where you drafted
him. Wait. Why do you care about Johnny VR's average? April 24th. Who cares?
What?
Who cares?
I'm just saying because, you know, you drafted him in the second round. He's not hitting.
Well, I mean, it's April 24th.
I think it'll get better, but, you know, I'm sure you cut him already.
I still own him, actually. I still own him and Jose Bautista in a league that I'm in third place in.
Third place, April 24th. Nobody cares.
One guy on the card.
Should I not care? I not care about where I am in the standings right now? What is April not as matter just as much as September does?
Scott, don't look at the standings.
You could go from third to like seventh in one day.
I could, but I'm going to keep playing hard, so I stay in third.
I expect you to keep playing hard, but to brag about that you're in third in April 24th.
I didn't brag about it. I was just saying that I'm doing well despite having Johnny DiArno.
Scott, if you was in third, you would be bragging about it.
I'm higher than third, and I'm not bragging about it.
In what league?
In my money league.
GST
is second. Money league.
Oh, you're in second in GST? That's good.
No, I'm in sixth. Not.
Oh. So you do know where you're at.
Only because when you load the page, the standings is right there.
It's not like
I'm going to regularly check the standings in April.
Hey, Eric,
I don't watch live scoring, and I don't check the standings in April.
Yeah, Eric Thames, you know, he had a quiet weekend for an Eric Thames-like player. But, you know, look, the guy's not going to just hit every single game. On the flip side, the one guy that I've been interested in, he's been getting a couple multi-hit games, stealing a couple of bases, Colton Wong, he's going to play. Peralta's on the DL. The kid has power, speed, potential. Hopefully he lives up to it.
Absolutely. Matt Carvin had a rough day at the office. Over 3 strikeouts, and he got really upset, and then he got thrown out.
Yeah, I'm a
rough start for him.
It's been a rough 3 weeks.
You know, it's been a rough start. However, OBP leagues, the OBP is a 362. So you're okay. Like that's you. Matt Carpenter went higher in OBP leagues, and if you drafted him in that kind of league, Scott, you're feeling all right.
Yeah, he was one of my picks in my dynasty / keeper money league. But I think he has just like a solo homer over the last week and a half.
Yeah, it's been tough on the counting stats for sure. In Detroit, Miguel Cabrera went on the DL on Friday, which is a tough break for them. But it was good to see Victor Martinez finally get a couple of hits yesterday, string them together. He was 3 for 5 yesterday. Average is slowly climbing a little bit. Of course, Miguel Cabrera's replacement, John Hicks, hits a home run yesterday. Not only that, he was 3 for 5 as well with 5 rubies.
Yeah, I actually picked him up in my AL only
leagues.
But because in AL only leagues, it's like nothing.
Right.
It's like you want guys that can get regular at bats, and he's got off to a good start in the minors this year.
I like the John Hicks. I had no idea what he looked like until 2 seconds ago. Michael Fulmer.
What he look like.
You're not going to like it. 7 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs. He struck out 7. A good start for Fulmer.
I don't want to date him.
On the other side of that, Modica. Not a good start for Kyle Gibson, who went 2 2/3, 7 runs allowed.
Yeah, hopefully some people out there, you know, it's more for deeper formats, but I just don't want to hear that Kyle Gibson can be good. There's a possibility of it. Kyle Gibson's garbage.
Kyle give you 2-3 good starts, and it'll get blown up 2 in a row.
Yeah, I don't like Kyle Gibson. I'm not banking in on this. For the Twinkies here, you know, everyone kind of had a hit. Miguel Sano, by the way, we haven't looked at this in a while. The OBP is still at 413. The average is at 241. It's not good.
This is
Miguel Sano.
Yeah, it's him. I want the power. The OBP, it'll be much better. What do we think about Kenny Vargas getting the call up? I mean, if they give this kid a shot, he does have huge power potential as well.
I think it's funny that Kenny Vargas is called up and not Bianco Park.
Yeah, I think he's still rehabbing as well. I did cut in one league I had Park left.
Yeah, I had to let him go too.
I cut Park for $1. I picked up Vargas.
Oh, he used to hang out with Sunshine.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Miguel Sano, if I'm not mistaken, he should be having a suspension coming his way, right?
Yeah, you know what, though? I mean, I don't like the fact. Look, I have no problem with pitchers throwing at batters. And if batters get hit, they want to charge the mound, I'm cool with that.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Because when we come back, we're going to wrap up the show talking about the story in baseball from the weekend. Speaking of batters getting hit, speaking of policing the game, that's what happened between Boston and Baltimore, these two AL East rivals. It got a little heated, Corey. It got a little heated. And we're gonna break down who is right, who is wrong. Just a couple minutes left, and we'll send you into the old school fantasy hour coming up here at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. That means the Roto Experts in the morning, the new, the improved, the rebirth. Well, we're done. Old school fantasy, come next. Stick around. Roto Experts in the morning wraps up right after this. It's the Roto Experts in the morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I know you also wanted to briefly talk about NASCAR.
Yeah, just real quick, the race was postponed yesterday. The race at Bristol will be at 1 o'clock today, and DraftKings is keeping the lineup doors open until 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Go to DailyRoto.com for the full preview.
All right, so there you go. Now, we talked about hitting guys and people finding things funny. Over the weekend, the big story was in Baltimore and in Boston. What happened was Manny Machado, a hard slide into Dustin Pedroia. He immediately jumped up, saw Pedroia was hurt, and was like, listen, like, you're right. Like, he immediately reacted that way. It was a hard slide for sure. Was it dirty? I didn't really think it was that dirty.
Spikes was up, though.
Spikes were up. It was a hard slide.
Slid in hard to break up the play. I mean, look. That's a baseball play. We have to stop with this. The one thing I will say about throwing at people, you don't throw at anybody's head. That's an exception to the rule.
So what happens is that takes place Friday night. Okay. So then Saturday, and Ken Rosenthal wrote about this just a couple of minutes ago, honestly. Saturday, if Machado's first at bat, you hit him in the oblique over here, in the side, in the back. He walks to first base. No one says a word. You move on. It's over. Nothing happens Saturday. Sunday, in the eighth inning, Matt Barnes comes in, and this is supposed to be the less crazy Matt Barnes, right?
Yeah, this is not Matt Barnes from the Kings.
Right, this is the less crazy Matt Barnes. And Matt Barnes throws it in Machado's head.
Yeah, he threw it right
at
his dome.
That was after Eduardo Rodriguez, in a previous at bat, had thrown inside him on him three straight times.
Correct. So he throws it in his freaking head, and immediately Pedroia's like, oh, dude, this wasn't my fault. This wasn't me.
Yeah.
This wasn't me. A lot of people got upset. Zach Britton basically said, Pedroia, control your team. You're the leader of this team. Zach Britton on the DL, Brad Brock crushing it. Well, pretty tight. But what did you guys think of what happened this weekend, Matt?
I thought the whole thing was Bush League. I didn't see any problem with that slide. I think that got blown out of proportion. I thought throwing at the guy's head is crazy. I didn't like that. And that, if I was Manny Machado, I would have charged the mound right there.
People don't like Manny Machado.
He's matured, though. He's getting older.
But still, people still don't like him from that incident when he threw the bat that time. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
So Manny Machado is always in the middle of something. Manny Machado stay in the mix. He's a guy I would like on my team.
It's going to be great when he's teamed up with Bryce Harper.
I'm about to say, exactly. Yeah, that's a guy I would like on my team. That's going to happen.
Yeah,
too.
I'm pretty pumped for it. Sky, what was your take on what happened this week?
I thought it was okay slide. You know, I felt like he was just playing baseball. He obviously, after the slide, he tried to pick Pedroia up because I think he felt guilty about it.
Yeah.
And then they had a text exchange where they worked things out. The thing I didn't like was Pedroia was saying, hey, that was on them. It wasn't me. Your teammates are standing up for you, and then all of a sudden you're deserting them. Saying, hey, it was them, not me.
Not a leadership
move. I didn't like
that. Not a leadership move.
That was kind of push league. Pedroia like.
Ooh. Kevin Gausman got blown up.
Gone, Gossman gone.
And Eduardo Rodriguez pitched pretty well besides five walks.
Yeah.
One hit, seven strikeouts, no runs allowed. Hanley Ramirez in his first home run of the year, but those shoulders are really bothering him. I don't like Hanley going forward. That's it for us. The rebirth is complete. We'll be back tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern time for another edition of the Roto Experts. Old School Fantasy is up next. Corey Parson, George Kurtz, and Matt Modica. For Modica, for Angle, for Parson, I'm Sussman. Have a wonderful rest of your Monday. Get the week started right. We'll see you back here tomorrow.